Oh my gosh. No, I haven't stopped laughing since the fourth goal. I haven't stopped laughing since the fourth goal. They suck. They fucking suck. Oh my gosh. They lost to the Ducks, man, and they fucking blew a two-goal lead with 6 minutes to Oh, you can't make it up anymore, man. You can't make Oh, man. They go, what, 1 for 80,000 on the power play? Anaheim was handing this game to them on a silver platter and said, take this game. And they still fucking lost. Oh man, they're terrible. And you know what the best part about this is? I barely watched it. I'm not gonna sit here and lie. I barely watched this game because I was busy watching Tyler McGill dotting up Christian Walker, watching Reed Garrett, Juan Soto hitting a home run. I was focused on that. And every time my eyeballs just was looking at the Ranger game for a minute, I wanted to immediately stab them and puke because all I saw was Keandre Miller and Will Borgen getting absolutely torched out there. Like that first period too, right? They had the lead after it, if I'm not mistaken. That was one of the worst periods I've seen in my goddamn life. They had nine high danger chances against them. It's the Ducks. They allowed a shorthanded goal to Alex Killorn in 2025. If anyone wants this team in the playoffs, I would love whatever you're smoking. You are high out of your damn mind. It's really the only way you could want this team in the playoffs. Oh man, I'm so happy baseball's back because I'm able to just not give a single fuck about this at all. And I chose to ignore everything that was going on over the past 48 hours because there was that whole thing where Frank Saravalli was saying that maybe he thinks that Peter Laviolette's gone after the season. And you know what? Go ahead and fire him because all it's going to do is give them a little bit of a boost for a month or two. And then fans are going to think, and management's going to think, oh, things are different. Wait a second. We got more juice with this group. And then they're just going to quit on that coach after 1 or 2 months. Maybe you get a third month of good play. And that's a big maybe. So go ahead, fire Laviolette and keep these clowns around because it's the same tendencies. They haven't started games on time under the same three coaches. They've blown games like this under the same three head coaches. So go ahead and fire him. It's not going to change anything. Man, that is so funny. That is so funny. One game. It's just one game. You for the $5, Jay Lewis. Offman top six and noticeable. Why does this coaching staff refuse to change the personnel on the power play? Being predictable gets the team nowhere. Stand still. No clue. No clue. And even with Brent Offman getting top 6 minutes, granted they were on the power play most of the game, 9 minutes of ice time. Love that. Love that. Thank you for the $5, NG. At least we'll have Gabe Perreault in a year or two. He'll be relegated to the fourth line. Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Can't wait to watch him play with Sam Carrick and Matt Rempe. I'm excited. All of them are. Every single one of them are. I genuinely am in tears from laughing. I'm genuinely in tears right now from laughing. Oh, this team sucks. Well, I can't say that I'm surprised, though. I mean, was Keandre Miller on? Like I said, I was barely paying attention. I'm like pretty sure Keandre Miller was on for every single goal against, right? Every single one, even the overtime winner. Was he out? No, he wasn't out there for the overtime winner, which Igor Shesterkin just going as far out of his crease as he possibly could, was able to get set back up, and they just toyed with him. I mean, Fox, Trocheck, Panarin out for lunch. One of the worst defensive groups. Hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. Keandre was out there for the rest of the goals, though. Funny stuff. Just funny stuff. You can't extend the guy. You just can't. There's no way. There's actually just no way. The fact that this was even close, the fact that this shouldn't have even gone to overtime, that's the funny part about this. Like, the Ducks should have won this in regulation. If they didn't give the Rangers 8 billion power plays, we're talking about this thing being over in regulation. We're talking about no points tonight. And even if they won, they would have gotten a spot. Other teams have games in hand. Not getting that extra point only makes it even worse for you. And it's funny, too, because I said in one of my group chats, I'm like, they're just going to beat the Ducks. They'll beat the Sharks. Fans are going to get roped back in, and then they're going to get humbled by the real competition, like Minnesota, like Tampa Bay, like Carolina, Florida, Tampa. Said they blew the game tonight. That tells you all you need to know about this group. So, really don't care. Like, I'm not even breaking this down in depth because I don't give a shit right now. It is 1 in the morning. The Mets won a baseball game. Igor Shesterkin, round of applause. He gave 9 straight starts, and they are well below 500 in those 9 straight starts. 3-6. Count it. 3-6. Right? Pretty sure I'm right about that. Yeah. 3-6. Yeah. Cool. Carson and Matt, I don't know if you guys are still here. Do you guys want to hop on the stream right now? Because I could send you guys a stream link. I was about to text it. I'll just say it on the stream. Igor was the only hope. We were told, yes, he's their only chance of winning games. And instead of losing games by 4 goals, 3 or 4 goals, they're losing by a billion, or they're losing by 1 or 2 instead, rather, I should say. All right, I'll send you the link. I'll send it to Carson, too. I don't know if Carson's still in here, but I'll send it to both of you. If I could find the DM I have with you guys. There we go. All right. I got to set up my audio too quickly. Might as well get more people on right now because I got nothing to say. And honestly, like I said, I barely watch this game. I barely watch this game. Let's see. They won't show up against the Sharks? Probably not. Or if they do, they'll just blow the game, so really doesn't matter. Would I like Torts back? I mean, I don't see a reason why you bring Torts back. And I tweeted it the other day. They're gonna quit on Torts. Like, I get the idea that they need a disciplinarian to whip them in shape, but we're past that point now. Like, that was one or two coaches ago they should have done it. We're beyond that now. These guys are uncoachable. Nothing will change until the group changes. So it does not matter. Does not matter one bit.
What's up, guys? Another game, another loss.
Oh, sorry. Good.
Well, I mean, you can actually leave that first one up.
Now
Yeah,
everyone's
listen,
got to look at the great Chris Kreider, because number 20's going in the rafters, baby.
just look up.
That's where it's going,
Yeah,
man.
listen, I don't know about you guys, but personally for me, I had a pretty good night. Mets won a game. Watched Juan Soto pimp a home run to right field. Tyler McGill shoved. The bullpen was perfect. And the Rangers blew. Oh, and I also won $126 on FanDuel. So I for me personally, I had a pretty good night. I can't lie.
Yeah, I just
I'm
want
gonna be
more
on
money
that.
thanks to the Dodgers actually helping me out. You know what? As much as I hate the Dodgers, I gotta thank them a little bit here. They just put me up a little bit more. I just won a nice $70 because I did a little live bet with the Mets through the Dodgers in there. So, you know what? Good night for the wallet at least.
Yeah, the Tiger. I just had that game on before I came on here, and yeah, the Mookie Betts home run to win it. That team just finds ways to win ball games. Gotta give them credit.
Yeah, which is not what this team does. This team finds ways to lose games.
No. I ran out of words to say. I thought once Radko Gudas took that terrible penalty, that interference penalty, we shoved off into the net. I was like, yeah, it's probably over now. They'll just barely by the skin of their teeth, they'll win this game. But just when you thought that the Rangers couldn't sink any lower, they managed to do it. And hey, listen, I'm all here for it. Nine more games of garbage. I mean, to be fair though, it's like my attention span for this team is not going to be anything at all, because even today, like, full attention is on the Mets, and it's going to be on the Mets. Like, I simply do not give one shit about this team right now. I just don't. Listen, they quit on us in November, in December, so why the fuck should I care?
Yeah, that's why I like didn't even bother to break this down really in depth, because it's the same thing. Like I would have, if I didn't get to watch a second of this game, I would have came on the show and said the exact same thing that I've said in every post game, because every game is pretty much a carbon copy paste of one another. It's the same exact shit right now. Wow, great fans. Yeah, great team that we root for. Great team that we root for that quit on us. Don't
What
shoot
do
the
you
messenger.
I mean, like, for a comment like that, I mean, like, what do you expect me to do? Like, you expect me to cheer for them and c congratulate them? Like, I'm sorry, but like Mika Zibanejad might think that performances like this are okay. Well, actually, no, not tonight, because they lost. So tonight's performance is not good. But if they somehow had won that game, perfect performance. It's all good. So, I mean, if you want me to just come on here and celebrate this type of performance, then, I mean, listen, to each their own, I guess, but I have higher standards for me personally. I know what it takes by watching other teams, what it takes to win a cup. And this team, nowhere fucking, yeah, forget about winning a cup, getting by the playoffs. Points wise, they may be close, but in terms of performance and talent on the team, no. They are somehow lucky that they aren't competing for a fucking a lottery spot right now.
A wild card spot. I don't get how either. And I get that this is what you took away from the comments that we're saying here, but we're still watching the games. But if the Mets are on at the same time as the Rangers, I'm sorry, but any sane person is watching the Mets instead right now. Like, there's no sane individual that's choosing to watch the Rangers right now,
but
when the Mets are on at the same time. But I'm not going to willingly watch when the Mets are on. I'm sorry. I'll have it on, but I'm not going to be as dialed in.
But even with that comment, no, only cheer for them when they're winning. So you want me to cheer for them when they're losing? Like this is one of the most dysfunctional organizations in hockey right now. One of the most dysfunctional organizations historically in hockey. You know, this team's about to celebrate their 100th year anniversary next year, and they have a grand total of 4 Stanley Cups. They have the same amount of regular season champions banners as they do Stanley Cup banners, but I'm supposed to cheer and, you know, compliment this team on every move that they make. Yeah, I miss.
You're not a real fan. You are a fake fan.
Even though I watch every single game. I watch every single game and I'm a fake fan. Like, yeah, it makes sense.
You're talking about it. Cause Chris Drury holds the GM seat and you don't. So sit down, shut up, and listen, little boy.
Sometimes you just gotta look up. Sometimes you just gotta look up, I guess.
Look up.
Because that's where it's going.
Oh my god.
Saying it how it is, bandwagon talk. Damn right, Kaylee.
Yep, because you see me. I mean, because everybody sees me donning different merchandise of other teams. You know, it's bandwagoning. We just have an axe to grind. We've got narratives. That's it. We are terrible people. How do you people live like this?
Hey, I mean, whatever's good for you.
Yeah, listen. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do, I guess.
Yeah.
What flavor of bleach, by the way? I heard strawberry.
I didn't even mention. I mean, we joke about Kreider, but I didn't even like mention that he was the problem today. I said Keandre Miller was the problem. But I mean,
does it even matter? I mean, they all share it every single night.
They all fucking
suck. You know, it's like.
They all wear the same jersey. They all fucking suck. Doesn't matter who.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, Keandre Miller though is the worst.
I mean, Kreider wears 20. I mean, look up. I mean, look up. That's a different level of jersey, of course. It doesn't fucking matter if they got a letter on their uniform or anything.
Thank you for the $5, Shay Lewis. And this is my point. Like, well, they're lucky that they're even getting any sort of viewership from me on the iPad right now. Like, I could easily just keep the games off entirely, watch basketball, watch baseball, watch AHL hockey, college hockey. I'm choosing to do this shit still.
No actual person, like, no actual person would voluntarily say, I'm going to go watch the Rangers. Like, no one's watching this. Like, literally, like, seriously, if you do want to watch this, like, we literally are just, like, insane. Like, we actually are insane. No sane person is like, yeah, I'm going to watch this team.
Well, I mean, to be fair, though, the only reason why we were able to watch this game is because it started at 10 o'clock. If this was a 7 o'clock game and the Mets were going the same time, they start 7 o'clock. Y'all know I ain't watching a single second of Ranger hockey.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, we don't even need to watch it to recap it. Like, yeah, Evan, you don't have to watch. Like, you legitimately don't have to watch because you know what's going to happen. It's the same shit. It's the same shit.
That's what I said at the before you hopped on. I was like, if the Rangers won or lost this game, I would have said the same shit because the wins and the losses are the same. The losses are because they don't show up on time or they blow the lead late, and the wins are just because they beat a bad team.
They beat a bad team where the goalie stands on his head for 60 minutes. Like, literally, it's the same shit.
And at this current moment, they can't even beat bad teams.
That's why even when the Met game ended and I just had the Ranger game on, I was kicked back, feet up instead. Like, I was so nonchalant and I didn't care because.
Oh, I can't.
It's the same shit.
Oh, I can't lie. After the Met game ended, it was like midway through the second period. the rest of that period, I was just watching the Soto homer on repeat. And I had a much better time doing that.
Like, literally, the Mets win, you get Soto, Soto homers, like, baseball season's back, and the Rangers think they're important. Like, get out of here. Like, seriously.
No, but they're in a wild card race.
Yes, the mighty wild card race. Oh
my God. They're in the Special Olympics race. That's what they're in.
This is what I'm talking about, though, Hank. It's like, it does not matter who the coach is at all. Like, that's why I'm not even bothering with the Tortorella talk, because, and it didn't bother when I saw the report about Laviolette potentially being fired after the season. There's just no point in even talking about a coaching change. There's no point at all, because, like I said, they'll just quit on the next guy too. Until there's actually changes with the group, I do not care. It's going to be the same.
Yeah, but that's why for me, even throughout this whole year, when people were on the fire Laviolette bandwagon train, I was like, nothing's gonna happen if they fire Laviolette. Like, nothing will change. Like, the same shit has happened under the last three coaches. And you could say, oh, you know, Laviolette shouldn't be checked out. I mean, yeah, technically from a professional standpoint, like, yeah, like, you probably shouldn't check out. But what are you supposed to do when a group of fucking 5-year-old little children? Actually, that's a fucking disrespect to 5-year-olds, because they're probably fucking better at hockey than these sorry group of fucking losers. But what are you supposed to do when this bunch of pussies, they don't care. And not only do they don't care, they accept this type of stuff. So you could change the coach. You could bring in whoever.
They like it. Who's the sick fucks now? Exactly.
Yeah. Like I brought up the other day on one of your post-game streams, Evan, it's like, the only way I care about who the next coach is if Drury's not fucking hiring that coach. Then I care. But if Drury's in charge of finding the next coach, this could be the same exact shit.
That's the other problem. It's like, why is Chris Drury even getting the honor of
it's gonna be another
head coach?
It's going to be another tough guy retread. That's what it's going to be.
And I personally would count it as his fourth head coach, because he was like the biggest advocate for David Quinn, because he was in the front office when they hired Quinn. He was like one of the big advocates for them hiring David Quinn in the first place. So if you want to count it as his third coach, fine, because it is as him with the GM label. But I don't know, I would count it as his fourth, just because he was like a huge advocate for
Quinn. I mean, even then, like, if you want to say just the two coaches and Gallant and Laviolette, both of them barely made it through 2 years. That's embarrassing.
Yeah, and it's both of them are about to have very ugly, like, the same exact trajectory too. A high first season, get to the conference finals, game 6, and it is ugly on the way out.
Yeah.
And both coaches saying basically the same shit about this group. And yes, it only took 5 seasons for Lafreniere to get to 100 assists. Yippee.
Where was he picked in the draft again?
I believe numero uno.
Yeah, I think first overall, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow, that's insane. Wild.
Thank you for the $5. NYR Nobody, you miss 100% of the passes you don't make, Wayne Gretzky. Thank you for the $5. Thank you for the $2. J. Lewis Drury to ruin team as payback for his buyout. That's what it feels like at this point. Yes, Gallant still is on the payroll. So this is about to be some Wilpon Mets shit, because they're going to... Because remember when the Mets had Callaway, Beltran, and Rojas all paid? They're about to do the same shit. Laviolette, Gallant, and whoever the new guy's going to be.
Well, the Raiders have coaches. The Raiders are paying 4 different coaches, I'm pretty sure, this year. Yeah. Gruden still has a little bit left of his settlement. McDaniels is still getting paid. AP is still getting paid. And they're paying Pete Carroll, who's 73 years old.
I see people typing, and I see this every time that Kuznetsov was right. Kuznetsov was a jackass too. Like, he was sobbing because he was actually getting benched for his poor play in Washington.
At the end of the day, while Laviolette does deserve to get fired, Laviolette's still going to retire as one of the best coaches, one of the best American coaches in NHL history, and he's still going to retire with Stanley Cup under his name. This group of losers, they're going to retire with nothing.
But a certain number will be in the rafters at least.
I know. Just got to look up.
Not to mention, Igor's is already up there, I'm pretty sure. So, yeah. Because they have no choice. I mean, for the next 8 years, I mean, we have to force feed the elite play. So,
four assists in 73 games.
Rangers legend. Rangers legend. Fucking ridiculous, man.
Juan Soto's already got 2 hits in 2 games. So, it's already halfway there.
Soto will literally have 5 outfield assists this year. Oh my god.
It's so depressing.
How do you... I'm sorry. Like, I don't mean to say sound like an outsider from this. It's like, it's seriously, like, it's gotten to the point. You're like, how does anyone want to see this in the playoffs? How are you actually out of your mind?
Yeah, you have to be high.
You have to be insane. You actually have to be insane.
Yep, like you guys are saying, it's just one game. It's just one
Who
game.
Who actually wants to see this team in the playoffs?
We're 73 games in, 9 more to go, but it's just one game.
Yep.
Yeah, they almost hired Sean Hines. Like, that's what I'm saying too. Like, the people that want Laviolette fired, and. Yeah. Are okay with Drury making the next hire. My question to you is, what makes you think it's going to work if two coaches didn't work? What makes you think that Drury's going to make the right decision the third time? Or, like I said, you could maybe say the fourth time if you want to include Quinn.
What do they say is the definition of insanity?
Doing the same shit over and over again.
It's
the system, guys. The system. Yeah, Laviolette tried to implement the system, and the shit was actually working. But what happened, the players were ass, and they don't actually want to buy in and play a good style of hockey. So
it's a system, yet, could we just stop pretending that Will Borgen is better than... Like, can we stop pretending he's good? Because I tweeted the other day that the Rangers somehow downgraded from Trouba and Lindgren, and everyone's like... Will Borgen's not a downgrade. Will Borgen's not a downgrade. Can we just stop this love for Will Borgen? I can't understand the obsession.
He's a third pair defenseman on a cup team. He's legitimately a third pair defenseman on a cup team.
I even think that's nice sometimes.
Barely. He's in a suit. He's in a fucking suit.
Hey, man, listen.
Get the hell out of here, man.
I said that before that Drury somehow downgraded from Trouba and Lindgren, but apparently I got told that I'm a dumbass, so. Apparently, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'm just so tired of hearing
getting ragdolled by the Anaheim Ducks. That does not, you know, you need your neck slashed for that one, Matt. Absolutely.
I just don't see the appeal. Like, I'm trying to see what people... to understand what people see when they watch Will Borgen play. I'm trying to understand what people see when Will Borgen's out there. To me, I see a guy who's constantly out of position. He's constantly going to the same side as his defensive partner. He's constantly caught too high, and he doesn't make a good first pass out of the zone. What is the appeal?
Less than Lindgren. That's literally
I thought Keandre Miller and Will Borgen was the next great pair. I thought that they were going to lead us to the promised land.
This was finally going to untap Key Andre Miller.
People told me this, that.
This is what I'm saying, though, Michael.
Yeah.
And Drury gave him an extension after, like, 20 games.
When you could have gotten a first-round pick for him, by the way, at the deadline, but.
At the very least, the second.
But I do think everybody, the one thing that this entire fan base can agree on, Carson Soucy is fucking garbage. I think we all can say that.
Oh, wow.
I think we all can agree on that.
Wow, who would have thought?
Who would have thunk that, y'all?
It's not like we weren't saying this on here before.
Nobody said that, yeah.
I just don't understand. I just don't understand this shit anymore. Like, you see the way that you lose to Florida last year, and your solution is, you know what? Soucy and Borgen is what we're missing on that blue line. And then you scratch Zach Jones. Why? And no, I didn't see Lavi's comments. Please tell me what he said. I'd love to hear post-game quotes, but
we have
the great New York
better.
Media isn't out on the West Coast trip to give us the quotes. Although I think Johnny Lazarus is out there, which it's insane how he's the only one there.
They're too busy talking about salads.
Oh, yeah. Lafreniere's fucking salad. Yeah, Lazzy tweeted. Peter Laviolette on if anything needs to be said after a loss like that. No, listen, we're in charge of a game going into the third period twice. We don't execute. We don't get it done. So that's disappointing. Very disappointing as it gets. Take a shot every time he said disappointing and you're probably
dead. He's just so checked out. It's like he doesn't even care.
He's just
literally showing up these last nine games and being like, well, I don't give a fuck. Just give me my paycheck and I'll leave.
To be honest, I really thought that it would be different with him. Not going to lie. Like, I really did. I got fooled. Like, we all got fooled, to be honest. Because, like, I think all of us were preferred Laviolette, right? I mean, like, at the beginning.
I still, for me, maybe I'm wrong. I still like Laviolette. I feel that if you actually give him a structure and a team that actually knows what the fuck they're doing, I do think that he could get a tune out of him. I don't know what you're supposed to do with these
group
of players.
Like, this is the problem. You can't coach the uncoachable.
You can't,
that's literally it.
But exactly. That's what I've been saying for the longest time. Like, what are you supposed to do? How are you as a coach supposed to get through to players who, one, first of all, suck ass, and two, they check out at the first second adversity punched them in the face. How are you supposed to coach that?
Here's my problem with where I do understand the people that don't like Laviolette. The stubbornness to get away from the man-on-man D-zone structure is a problem. Like, I can't lie that's
perfect.
An issue.
He's not perfect.
At the same time, if you do switch to a zone defense, do you trust these guys either way? Because I sure as fuck don't. I don't,
well,
because I'm tired of hearing that.
No matter what,
I'm tired of hearing, a zone defense will fix them. Okay, maybe
the blue
line's
a welcome mat. It doesn't matter. It does not fucking matter.
Yeah. They are, like, everyone has said in the chat, like we have said, like most people on Twitter have said, they have an AHL of a blue line and Adam Fox. That's it.
Thank you, Chris.
And Fox doesn't even skate that well anyway, either. So it's not like. Oh, sorry.
But how dare you? He won a Norris Trophy.
I know.
I'm so glad they freaking brought him back just for this. Like, they could have let him get healthy, maybe get surgery if there was anything needed.
But the playoffs, you have to.
They got to get those extra. We got to get Dolan's playoff revenue for three games at max.
Not even. It's going to be two. They would have been fucking swept.
Oh, it's going to be two, but at the max three.
Well, let's hope it's zero, to be honest. I'm not trying to watch this garbage any longer past the last game of the season.
And this is the thing. Jones, the second best D-man, gets scratched. I mean, Carson Soucy was getting scratched too early on, which tells me Laviolette and Drury just are. There's a disconnect there between the two.
Oh, yeah. And who's gonna end up getting the right of way after this season? It's gonna be Drury. So it's not like,
I don't have a good feeling that Drury's gone after this year. I just
Drury's not going anywhere. I would bet anything.
He's not. I could just tell by how he went about the trade deadline Like, I just
how we went him by getting this retool
him getting to
like, it doesn't sound like a guy who's
him, yeah, lose his job. The Igor doesn't. Extension too would just
trading for Miller. Those are moves of a guy that's not going anywhere. And I think I said it a couple of streams ago that this is what I agree that he's gone if they miss the playoffs next year.
Yeah, that's 1 year too long,
and that's the problem, though.
Yeah, because in that span of the year, they're still going to pay Keandre Miller. You know it's going to happen for no fucking reason. They're going to make some kind of stupid contract because obviously they're going to get rid of Kreider probably this offseason by at best. And then they're going to just
overpay
give out
Sam
some
Bennett.
Other fucking garbage-ass contract.
Dmitry Orlov.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to give out some other garbage contract to a winger who's going to be completely overpaid and who's like a second liner at best.
Who is even a Drury replacement? Pluck someone from a smart team. Pluck someone from Florida. Pluck someone from Tampa. Pluck someone from Dallas.
I'd go to
Vegas.
Bro, I'd go to fucking Penn Station, just pick out a random person and say you want the job. They can't fucking do any worse.
True. I want Rich Peverly or Sonny Mehta as the next GM. Those are two names that I would want, but
what about McDonough? We should keep giving captains the GM. McDonough.
That's what I was gonna say though. Knowing this team, they're gonna give the GM role to like a former player.
They're gonna give Callie the GM. No offense to Ryan Callahan, but no. Please no.
Derek Stepan is our new GM.
Sean Avery.
Well, then you know Keandre Miller's not coming back.
You see, the problem with Sam Rosen being the GM is he's going to accidentally like put the wrong names in trades, and then we're going to have big problems there. That's the only issue. Yeah, like Tanner Glass will get promoted. The fucking Mark Stahl. There you go. There's the guy that will get promoted. Mark Stahl.
Another guy that they paid and just completely fucking vanished off the face of the earth afterwards.
Henrik Lundqvist for GM.
Tyler Mott. That's a good one.
We don't need any.
Oh, yeah. Dan Girardi.
I mean, he's going to vomit even more than he did at the Knicks game if he has to watch this team.
Booney Evans for GM. I could get
Blake that. Wheeler.
Yeah, Dan Girardi would be a good. I mean, he was at the arena a few weeks ago, wasn't he?
Maybe Ken Holland would be there. A horrendous hire.
Once a Ranger, always a Ranger.
You know what? This will be the hire. Ken Holland will be the hire because he's terrible. But he won cups before computers were invented. So you know what?
Patrick Waugh, maybe?
Chuck Good Fletcher, throw. Baby. Chuck Fletcher.
That would be the hire. Ken Holland, Chuck Fletcher. Like, those would be... That's where they would look into. They would look into those names.
No, they're gonna... I would say... No, they're going to hire
somebody.
Oh, yeah,
like the Peter Shirellis of the world, too. They'll look into those names.
They're going to make their Brody Van Wagenen type of, like, they're going to bring in, like, a sports agent or something.
They're going to get McDavid's agent in as the fuck.
And he'll still end up going to, like, Carolina or some shit.
No, they're going to get Pat Brisson. They're going to hire Pat Brisson.
Yeah, Larry Brooks is G.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Josh Anderson.
Fucking Josh Randy. Anderson's a Dude. Ranger yesterday.
And Cal Clutterbuck is coming. He's coming
Matt
out of retirement.
Martin.
if Larry Brooks was our fucking GM, we would have Rempe on the top line.
Oh, well, you know what, though? That Rempe's team, they're going to lose a lot of games, but they won't go down without a fight, baby.
No. Even though Matt Rempe went down... like a sack of fucking potatoes.
Plenty of extracurriculars for that team.
We need Chet Orbire.
Ted Lasso for GM.
God, just hire Pops, please. He already is the GM, to be honest.
He's the mask. I mean, he has his own banner, so.
He does.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, they'll, even if they do hire a new GM, do you even trust this organization to hire the right one? They'll look at the Peter Shirellis. They'll look at the Ken Hollins. They'll look at, what was the other name that we said before? Chuck Fletcher. Yeah, they'll look in that department for the next GM.
Even though, because I'm pretty sure if they hire a new GM, I'm pretty sure Sather still has a fucking say in who's coming in as GM. So
I'm sure he does, and you know he's gonna want someone that doesn't use computers at all.
Because fucking Dolan doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. imagine Dolan in charge of hiring a fucking GM for a hockey team.
Sandy constructing the Mets search.
Yeah, I mean, this fucking front office already has only one analytic. In 2025, you have one analytics guy, but.
They'll hire someone like Jarmo Kekalainen, which now the Blue Jackets are better now that he's gone. They'll hire him.
Molly Walker's GM. Vince Mercogliano for GM.
Did we hear anything from Mika Zibanejad? Did we hear any other quotes from?
Well, Mika. Because since they lost tonight, the performance wasn't acceptable.
So yeah. Okay. You could play just the same clips from him.
Yeah. And then he went back to making Alec Kreider. But there's nothing, though.
Sick.
Every bad GM has good moves. But, like, are we going to sit here and pretend that... and I think Zach Hyman's a solid player. But, like, let's not act like his production isn't coming from Connor McDavid. And with Adam Henrique, I mean... You know what? But, fair play, because Chris Drury probably should have made that move last year.
But I thought JT Miller was supposed to be our Connor McDavid. Oh wait, but he scored today.
No, he's so our Mark Messier, actually.
Yes, the culture changer. JT Miller changed the culture, and this team is fucking still choking games like they did in past years at the start of the year. But fantastic culture
it's
changer.
So different.
I guess.
Miller, yeah, it's so different now.
Yeah, the alpha everyone wants.
Yeah, alpha male,
lone wolf.
Oh god, he's so good, man. Have you seen the points he's putting up?
Yep. Did you see what he did tonight? And they still lost?
Did you see the effect that he had on Mika Zibanejad? Oh my god.
He's the reason Mika scored that goal there.
He has 21 points in 22 games. Like, that's incredible. I'm so wet right now.
I'll answer a few more comments and then I'm wrapping this shit up. His charts.
Yeah, we actually have seen his charts. He's fucking regressed these last.
Yeah.
I actually want to see what his chart looks like since he
like,
came
just
here.
Just like the Keandre Miller chart. How the fuck does that guy have a good chart?
I actually want to see how JT Miller's looks, though. More of the same.
God. The funny part about this is like the people who like bookmark our tweets about this team, like, we're gonna be bad.
Salad stocks are plummeting.
Like we're gonna be wrong.
I mean, why'd you even buy stocks in the first place?
Wait, no, you're being sarcastic, but I did it. I genuinely wanted to see his chart. The offense went up a bit, but barely. All right.
At least we have the best owner and GM in baseball. Praise be, Damian. Praise be. I'm blessed every single day for Cohen and Stearns.
And this is the problem, Bobby. These guys, maybe outside of Kreider, these guys aren't going anywhere. JT Miller's not getting any younger. That's the problem.
Who's taking Mika?
JT Miller could be great. He could change the culture, if you will. It does not matter when Mika and Panarin aren't going anywhere. And that was why we didn't want them to trade for Miller. He's getting up there in age. It just did not make sense when this team needed to tear it down. But
how could you not want? I'm
going in circles with this shit.
Last year, how didn't you not want? He had 100 points, and last year, and you know,
why would the problem with buying out Mika is they save pretty much no cap.
Yeah, I want to be. You might as well just eat the cap space yourself.
And yeah, and you're gonna have to deal with that cap hit for additional
years.
No
one's taking him. No one's taking him. Like legitimately, no one's taking him.
No, there's no way. JT Miller isn't Crosby. JT Miller isn't Ovechkin.
I disagree. I disagree there. I 100% disagree there. Because if you go to be honest, if you can just do like a very simple search, you know, just search up JT Miller, maybe just go to Hockey Reference. You see all the accomplishments he had. Oh.
Well, hold on. I was just going to say this, though. Like, Sidney Crosby wears number 87. Alex Ovechkin wears number 8. They both have 8 in their jerseys. JT Miller wears number 8. I'm just saying.
I wish we got credentials for that shit.
Oh, credentials? That'd be fucking.
And what is Corey Perry right now? Oh, yippee! We're gonna have an $8.5 million fourth line goon. Like, come on!
Like we
can't
have
be serious.
Glass all those years.
Like, we can't be serious about this.
Oh my god!
And
man.
I don't think JT's been bad. Like, I don't want to get that. I don't want that getting confused, but it does not make sense for where the Rangers are. It made no sense to trade a first-round pick, a young roster player, and your best defensive prospect.
Fuck the context. It has nothing to do with that shit. You have to score more goals than the other team, okay? And that's what JT Miller was able to do with Vancouver for a decent amount. Even though this year he completely fell off a cliff and was completely disgruntled and there was huge problems there. And also he's starting to show his age a little bit. And to be honest, he hasn't really proven much even at the peak of his career. So it doesn't really matter anything, but
it's proof about age and production. Okay. So why did Milan Lucic get considered one of the worst contracts at the end of his career?
Proof about age and production. Really? You're kidding me, right?
Like,
you're
I'm
saying
sorry.
Okay, so wait, Crosby and Ovechkin are comparable to the everyman. That's it. Like, literally, just typically, we can just say, oh, Crosby and Ovechkin, since they produce, any old person can produce. Give your grandma some skate; she can produce. Just because Crosby and Ovechkin are producing at their age, that's insane. That's literally like the Mets fans that say, oh, well, Jet Williams is small. So is Altuve. Like, get the fuck out of here. Are you like, what?
JT Miller isn't even a point per game with the Rangers. And he hasn't even hit his full decline yet. What makes anyone think that he's going to be producing at an elite level as he gets older? I genuinely want to know. Thank you for the $2, J. Lewis Panarin. Should and can be dealt at the draft? He should. Yeah, I mean, that's the only way you could retool the roster if you move Panarin. And I saw someone tweet, "You're an idiot if you want Panarin moved. He's one of the best Rangers." That's great.
Okay. No one cares.
What does he do?
No one cares.
What does he do come playoff time?
What does he do come playoff time? And what is that doing for this team right now?
He's one of the best Rangers. They legitimately, like, they bought out Lundqvist. They can buy out anyone. They could trade anyone. Like, legitimately, how fucking, oh, God. It's such, this logic is so awful. It's not even, like, ugh. I just can't, man. It's all about the singular statistics with these fucking players. How does it gel as a team? How do they fucking win? They don't play winning hockey. So if it's not working, move on.
And that's what people can't get. What kind of offseason are we going to get? I think they're going to fire Laviolette. I don't know who the fuck they're bringing in. And I think they're going to move Kreider and then overpay Sam Bennett, call it an offseason.
And extend Keandre Miller.
And that's if Sam Bennett even wants to come here, because I don't know who's coming here right now.
Carson Soucy came here.
Oh, yeah, he waived his no-trade clause to come here. I forgot.
This team has played winning hockey for a while. This is the
You can't even they pronounce. Didn't,
they didn't play winning hockey last year. The Florida Panthers played winning hockey last year.
Okay.
That's why they...
I can't even.
I'm sorry. Can I just jump in?
It's 1:30 in the morning. Who gives a shit? Like, honestly, who cares?
Let me just jump in here, because this is the same logic that got the Islanders where they are right now, which is a mediocre team trying to stretch their window over and over again. They got to back-to-back conference finals. They thought, just keep the band together. And as the team got older, wow, it's crazy to see. They are constantly first-round exits. Or not making the playoffs. If that's what you want to be, okay. Sure.
Well, good teammate, good player.
And like this whole thing, they played winning hockey. No, they didn't. They got most of their production. The reason why they won a lot of games last year was because they got carried from one line, and they had career years from Lafreniere, Trocheck, and Panarin. What a coincidence.
They scored more than more goals than the other team. Stop.
Carson, I know, but what happened this year? Their production plummeted, and what happened? The power play, not good this year. What happened? It's not a coincidence. Like, I'll give you this. The only portion of last season where they played winning hockey was from the start of the year till November, when they had that game against the Bruins at MSG and they won 7-4. Other than that, and maybe you could point and pick out a few games here and there, other than that, consistently after November, they did not play a winning brand of hockey. And that's why when the Eastern Conference Finals came, they didn't look like they belonged on the same ice as the Florida Panthers. And if it wasn't for Igor Shesterkin, that series would have been a sweep. And no one could tell me otherwise, because it's true. And stop with the president's trophy. Maybe not in terms of points-wise, they weren't the worst president's trophy winners, but in terms of play style, that was the worst president's trophy winning team I've ever seen in my life.
And the context matters with the first conference finals that people leave out, that if Crosby doesn't get hurt, they're done in that series in 5. Like, could we just call it how it is there? Yeah. And in retrospect, it probably would have been better if they did get bounced by Pittsburgh, because changes would have happened after they got bounced by New Jersey the following year. And Igor going on that, having that Vezina season, they don't even make the playoffs.
Sam, and why is this entire team playing bad? Could it be that other teams kind of just like figured them out and realized that they're very, very beatable?
I'm tired of hearing that.
You can expose them so easily.
I'm tired of hearing that this team went to the conference finals, yet one, these are the same fans.
There's something different about this team. There's just something not right. Fire the coach!
One, these fans think that a coaching change is going to make the difference, which again, we just went over this, that it's the same patterns with the coaches. And two, they're getting older. Three, the core, like the group around the core is starting to change and it's getting worse. Okay, if you think it's just the system, then there's no helping you.
Yeah, exactly. I had a good shot, buddy.
If the system was bad,
at a certain Twitter user,
why did they start the season really good last year? Why was there an actual defensive structure last year? So what was the reason for why prior to the end of November, why were they playing defense and then mysteriously it just disappeared? Why? Because the players don't have the mental strength to buy in and play that type of hockey throughout a full calendar year and into the playoffs. That's why. It doesn't matter. You could bring in John Cooper. You could bring in Jared Bednar, Rod Brindamore, whatever coach you want to bring in here. It's not going to work. You could bring in David Carl for all I care. You could bring back Mike Keenan. They're not going to win because the player's not good enough. And the GM is not good enough. That's the reason why.
Is this not exactly what we've been saying? Is this why we're literally saying this team is full of players who don't know how to skate? They don't skate. They don't give a shit.
What makes you think that a coaching change is the answer? You can't say
that coaching change.
You can't say this and then also say, yeah, they just need a coaching change. You can't have it both ways.
What do you mean they literally got a cup-winning fucking coach? What else do you need? Oh my god, like what? Seriously, he's the problem. Yeah, he's the main problem. I mean, yeah, he hasn't been great. I get it. But it's like, what else do you need? They already have cheerleaders on the fucking thing to encourage them. Because this is all Drury does.
So Sam thinks that a coaching change will fix this, but the players aren't good enough here.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yep. Okay.
And I'm sure we said this last time with Gallant, right? We're sure we said this last time with Quinn, right? We said the same thing. How is it going to be different? And how do you actually trust the guy up top to choose the right guy?
Yeah,
ain't a mess. The entire organization's a mess. I don't give a shit about exactly what banners are flying in the fucking MSG Raptors. I don't give a shit.
Hold up, though. That's exactly what you said. You said this team is filled with players who don't skate and don't play with heart. And you also said before, let me see if I could find the comment, that the system is the issue. Yeah, here. The system is bad. So is the system bad or is it the players? Which one is it?
Like,
yeah, then he just said Gallant was good. Then his message wore out and players gave up. And same.
What does that say about the players if they're giving up on coaches nonstop? What does that say?
What does that say about the players? Oh my god, his message wore out. Yeah, because they give up on them. Oh my god.
This season, yes, changed the system. But what about last year? There was a system in place. We all watched how they played from the start of the year to start of the year till November. Then why didn't they play like that throughout the rest of the year?
Was the supporting cast is bad.
And whose fault was that?
And how many supporting casts do they need? Okay, wait. So the supporting cast is the issue. Okay, so last year when Artemi Panarin and Mika Zibanejad were basically no-shows in that Florida series, that was the supporting cast fault. That was Wenberg's fault, who scored an overtime winner in one of those games. That was Barkley Goodrow, who scored an overtime winner, which don't get me wrong. I mean, he got outscored when he was on the ice, but those guys were the problem. It's the same shit with 2023. Oh, Kane and Tarasenko were the problems. Not Lafreniere, who had no points in seven games. Not Panarin and Zibanejad, who no-showed after the first two games. Tampa. Panarin.
Scapegoat Kaka, what about him? He did some Tampa great series. Work,
Panarin was
he?
Nowhere to be found. Why is it the supporting cast constantly getting the blamed here?
Oh my God.
Wait, Sam, can I just ask you a question? Do you trust Chris Drury to make the appropriate moves to fix this? Just answer me that question. Simple yes or no. Do you trust Chris Drury?
We can't develop players. God.
You guys laugh and have no...
And this, too! The supporting cast is the only ones in the running for the Stephen McDonald Award this year. The top guys are the reason that they're going to miss the playoffs.
Okay, look. And then Sam said no, he doesn't trust them. So, he's still going to be here next year. So, he's going to be fixed.
They're not in a playoff spot, or they're not in a wild card race right now if Sam Carrick doesn't have the January he does. If Will Cooley doesn't have the first half of the season he does, they're nowhere near wildcard contention. Why are we acting like the top guys deserve a medal? And you know what? Sure, Panarin's putting up the points, but it's the regular season again. He does this every regular season.
He's nowhere to be found. He's absolutely nowhere to be found. Not to mention all of his best performances are against teams that cannot skate 5v5, that are even worse than the Rangers 5v5, believe it or not.
No Drury, no Labby, no Housley, no Muse, no Pekka. All goodbye. Okay. And then.
Okay, good.
And then
good
Glenn, luck. Stather, good luck with and that. Then Glenn Stather's making the ultimate decision on who they go after next for GM. And then the cycle will continue below. So, and do you trust Glenn Stather to make the right decisions?
You said they deserved a medal. You did by saying the supporting cast is the issue.
Why would you even trust that group's judgment, though? Like, let's even go from a technicality, not even on the ice, technicality off of the ice. Why would we even trust that group's judgment of Mika, Panarin, Kreider, that leadership? Look who they chose as their captain. Can we all, like, why would you even trust that judgment?
I don't agree with this comment. I'm sorry, I don't agree with this. Lafreniere has got the minutes this year. The excuses are over with him.
He's been in the top six the whole fucking
year. He's had top power play minutes, too, when Kreider wasn't playing, and there were points where they just put him on the top unit. The excuses are over with Lafreniere. And the bigger issue with Lafreniere, I think, is just the effort. I think effort's the issue with him.
He's lazy.
And it's a thing with this group. Thank you for the $2, Jay Lewis. Scouting is bad in the organization. That's all on Drury. I mean, that dates further back to Drury, honestly. Like, as much as I hate Chris Drury and he deserves blame, this goes further back.
Oh, no, it's from top to bottom a fucking mess.
Like, look at their picks during the rebuild. Like, this goes beyond the Chris Drury era.
We don't even have time for that.
Do I wrap this up? Because I'm gonna lose my shit in 2 seconds.
Yeah, I just some people just don't understand the context whatsoever. I don't know what to tell you. There's the contact matters in this. Like, from all aspects, they are a mess.
Yeah, and I just don't even know. I don't even know where they could go to fix this because Drury's not going anywhere. Laviolette could go. Like I said, they'll be good for like a month or two next season, and then they'll just quit on the next guy. And we're going to be back in the same spot having the same conversation. And the players are going to be the same for the most part. Like, Chris Kreider will go. I don't know who they'll bring in to replace him, but
whoever they do will get blended into the slop. So it's not like it matters. Fucking believable.
Problem is James Dolan. Yeah, and that's when your owner's the ultimate problem, and that's where the core issues stem from, then nothing will ever be fixed until he goes. But James Dolan pretty much said that he's not
Actually, you know what, Sam? You're right. You're right. We'll just make changes. You know, we have so much cap space coming on for this off season. You know, it's not like you locked in your goalie for the next 8 years. You also don't have a bunch of aging veterans who are making 8.5 plus on this team.
You also don't just keep on.
Yeah. Yeah. The culture changer. Yeah. It's not like you have any locked in for 2030.
But people told me the cap was going up, so everything's going to be okay.
Yep. Yeah.
The culture changer, JT Miller, who.
You know what's also going up? 20. It's going up there.
Again, like I don't.
Players are going to ask for more in that regard.
Yes, exactly.
It's supply and demand. Right. Jesus Christ!
I don't know how many times I have to explain that the cap going up only benefits teams that have long term contracts already on the books, like the New Jersey Devils, who have Jack Hughes at a really good $8 million contract.
Yeah, and I was about to say long term contracts, but if they're at good value.
Yeah,
this team has long-term contracts all at shitty value. Mika Zibanejad, locked up long-term, bad value. Igor Shesterkin, locked up long-term, bad value. JT Miller, okay, fine for now. You could say because of his production, good value. But give it a couple years. If he starts to fall off, that contract's not going to look good.
Can I ask you something, too? What's the common theme with those contracts?
No movement clauses.
I don't know if Chris Drury skipped the day of GM school where – they taught that you don't have to give a no trade clause or no move clause to every single player, but he must have missed that day of class because it's every single player. Will Borgen.
Well, I mean, you already know Keandre Miller is going to be the next one.
Yeah, he's getting a no movement clause, yeah.
Because, I mean, Drury loves Miller and Schneider like they're his own sons. So it's not like. So they'll retain their salary. The cap will go up there, and what will they have left? I don't know, like $3 million, which they can give to another fucking garbage third pair defenseman or some shitty third line center.
Thank you for the $2, Shay Lewis. And yeah, the pro scouting is terrible. It is. The pro scouting's horrendous. It's clear as day. I don't think they have a pro scout. I think they just say, you know what, whoever's on the team, let's get their best friends, because they did it with Trouba. They're doing it with JT Miller right now, so I wouldn't be surprised if they target Brock Besser even this offseason. It's just how they roll. Because there is no solution, Sam.
There isn't. They are fucked for the next decade. They legitimately are. You literally put that in place by paying your goalie the richest contract in the history of the position. There's a reason why we said don't pay him.
Yeah, and I just want to add this, which ties into that conversation. So, after moving Kreider, the Rangers, once you add two scratches, and that I just put Connor Mackey and Adam Sikora, just to put names there. The Rangers have $15.5 million in cap to bring back Cooley. Sign a left shot defenseman or bring back Keandre Miller. Sign a top six right winger and sign a middle six center or a middle six winger with 15 and a half in cap.
Good luck with that.
Unless they're just unless they're promoting guys from within, unless, you know, they're actually going to trust their prospects for once, or unless they're going to. Or is Sam Carrick the 3C next year? Sam Carrick the 3C.
Oh, God. Listen, if you want to see a team that the cap going up is actually going to benefit with long-term deals at good value, Florida Panthers. I'll give you a good example right here. Alexander Barkov locked up long-term $10 million. Bargain of a contract. Sam Reinhart locked up at 8.625. Bargain. Anton Lundell locked up. Anton Lundell locked up at $5 million, bargain. Carter Verhaeghe, $7 million, bargain. Gustav Forsling, 5.750. Bargain. Matt Tkachuk, 9.5.
Bargain. Mikko, you could wipe your ass with Mikko's money, or is he coming up? Or is he coming up after the season? Mikko,
he makes 2.5. He has one more season after this year.
Yeah, but like, wipe your ass with the money he's going to be making next year, and he's like, he would be the second best defenseman on this team right now.
You said Trocheck bargain, and now what it's about to what? Yeah, Trocheck was a bargain for last year, but his play this year for the money he's making is not worth it.
Why care? Why make a podcast? Because I made this podcast before this was what it was.
Yep.
No, I'm sorry you're new around here. I've been doing this for years now.
We've always been like this, you know. We've always been miserable. There was no hope. It's not like the Rangers and what was it? The Rangers and Kings were like the top two teams of like the brightest futures, and not to mention the Kings beat us in 2014 and then lapped us in the rebuild now, and they're already way better than us. It's not like that was a thing, but then a few years later, here we are now talking about JT Miller. Second stint with the Rangers, the last ride, the second ride. Amen to that.
Yeah, they've tried trading Mika, but he hasn't waived his no trade clause. Where is he waiving his no trade clause to? Could you tell me? Because they could try all they want, but Mika has the ultimate decision at the end of the day. If he goes, great. Great. But I do not know. I don't think he's waving.
Yeah, I mean, look, cool. Like, if they could move on from Kreider, Panarin, and Mika next offseason, right? Cool. Got a ton of money coming off the books. You trust Chris Drury to now reinvest that money into new players? I don't. I don't. This is the same guy who somehow managed to get $8 million of Jacob Trouba off the wage bill and then turned around and said, oh, Igor Shesterkin, 8 years, $11.5 million. Boom. Sign me up. Great reinvestment of resources there, buddy. Great job.
Oh, wait, sorry. Mr. 27 here. Mr. 27 rings here. That was what he's talking about. We got to stop. Do the Isles need a Nelson replacement? I have a Swedish DJ that fits the model. Again, if they could move Zibanejad by some miracle, great. But like Matt said, where are they allocating that cap to?
Okay, and then like Jay, did any of you think he would trade Trouba without retention? No, I didn't think he would. I thought he would have to retain. But that makes it even worse because then he turned around, took that money, and reinvested it into a bad contract. So what the fuck does it – it doesn't mean anything that he managed to trade Trouba without retention.
He did it in the same day, too.
And the difference with Trouba – the difference with Trouba also is – that they were threatening him to go down to the AHL if he didn't waive his no trade clause. You can't do that with Mika. He has a no move clause. So he has way more of a say than Jacob Trouba did. Jacob Trouba, he was going to play in Hartford if he didn't waive his no trade clause or get picked up off waivers potentially.
Does not matter what Igor is accounting for the cap. It's what you are enabling when you sign him. God. They weren't good enough with Igor standing on his head a few years ago or last year in the playoffs. They weren't good enough to do that. Now you add that to the cap and you enable it. You enable that brand of hockey. And now you're going to have even more third pair defensemen who are going to be on the second pair or the first pair who, you know, even with Fox, who has not been the same since his Norris season.
This was my biggest problem ultimately, Thomas, is that I feel like that's what this contract's going to do. It's like it's going to keep them in limbo to where they're not going to know what to do. Like they're always going to be half one foot in the door, one foot out the door.
They're stuck. Which,
again, is why they should have went all in.
They're stuck
last year.
There's a reason why it's called championship window for a reason. And then they also just decided to jumpstart it the way that they did. So. Yeah. So. It adds up. I mean, it does add up.
Hey, fellas, by any chance, do you know who are the free agent goalies on the market next year? Go take a look. Okay. Vegas, what do they trade? A fifth round pick, a fourth round pick for Aiden Hill to San Jose, and they ended up winning a cup. So apparently, if you have a good enough team in front of you that you could just go there, you could go to a team and find a goalie and put them in. And
listen, also, I'm not saying, no, sorry, go ahead.
And listen, I'm not saying that like you could just stick a fucking garbage can in there to win a cup. No, obviously you need a solid goaltender. But you need a team in front of that goaltender to win.
Yeah, and you're not going to do that with him. Yeah, and they didn't. The whole point that we made is that they couldn't win with him making 5.6. What makes anyone think they're winning with an aging core in front of him and him making?
Well, it's because more than twice the amount of money. Up.
And kiss my ass. The thing with this argument too is, if the free agent market is so shit and he was going to make all this money, why didn't he test the market? Why didn't he go test free agency if he was going to get all this money?
They should have traded him.
The Rangers did exactly what they did with Trouba. They bid it against themselves. No one was giving Igor this contract.
No one. Not a chance.
Because if he was so confident that he should be resetting the market, and if the free agent market is this bad, like you're saying, why not test the market then? Why not see what's out there? Why not go get your $13 million?
Like, does anybody actually understand, like, why a goalie has not gotten $11.5 million? Because no one's stupid enough to do it. That's why.
We saw them not be able to win with Henrik Lundqvist making the money he was.
We saw Carey Price. Igor is generational. You don't understand.
And yes, he did want to be here, which is why it was stupid to give him $11.5 million.
And I'm sure Connor Garand wants to be here too, but he's not going to get any playing time for the next 8 years because you gave 11.5 to a goalie who needs mental resets every 5 weeks.
Traded him for what? I'm not saying that you would have got a fucking like a haul of haul back for him, but you would have gotten some picks back. You would have gotten back a decent prospect here or two. And by the way, the main reason why I wanted to trade Igor was just because I didn't want to allocate $11.5 million to him. That's the main W that you get from trading Igor Shesterkin, is that you don't have to allocate that money to one position, which has shown that you don't need an elite goaltender to win a Stanley Cup. It's been proven. And don't give me Sergei Bobrovsky, who's made that type of money. Look at the contracts again. Look how Florida built that team.
And again, the revisionist history with Bob, because that contract was regarded as one of the worst contracts in the entire NHL until last year when he won the Cup. And by the way, they almost blew the Stanley Cup last year because he played like garbage.
So what they would have just gotten a seventh round pick for Igor? Like, that's what you're saying?
And again, once they traded Trouba, and with the way the season was going, the signs were pointing to they need to go in a different direction as a whole. And if you trade Igor, you would actually be able to get guys to waive, because you're telling guys on this team, We're going in a different direction. And who would have gave Igor 12 or 13 million? Who would have gave him that? And if that's the case, why did he not hit the market? Tell me why he didn't hit the market then.
I mean, he knew that this team was stupid enough to give him that money.
What are you saying? No, what would have they gotten for him midseason? Well, I didn't want originally. I didn't want to trade him midseason. I said to trade him at the start of the offseason when they got eliminated, but that didn't happen. But thankfully, Drury got a fucking golden opportunity to right the wrongs when Trouba when he was able to move him, but he said no. Let me extend to Igor now. When clearly the team was flashing directions that they needed a reset and a retool, not fucking pay Igor and not even extend the window, because effectively by giving Igor that contract, you close the window on a group that showed that they are not mentally strong enough and not good enough skill wise to win a cup in the first place. So I don't know.
Yeah. And it's just like when Connor Hellebuck got the contract he did, and when everyone knew the cap was going up when he got that contract, this isn't like he got his contract 2 seasons ago, 3 seasons ago, he got it, I'm pretty sure, in the same calendar year, if I'm not mistaken. Why is he making $3.5 million more than the best goalie in the league? And if you want to debate, because I'm sure there's going to be homers that are going to say Igor's better, the fact that it's a debate tells you they shouldn't have gave him $3 million more, or $3.5 million, whatever it is. I need to find, though, do you remember when he got that contract, or?
You could probably look it up on,
I'm trying to find that right now.
On cap wages, it might. Actually, if you go on SpoTrack, it probably will say. Let's see.
Even if you want to say that Igor is better than him, he's not $3.5 million better than him.
Yeah, no. No way.
Like, come on. That's ridiculous.
He signed it October 9th, 2023. So sorry, 1 season earlier, which everyone still knew the cap was going up.
Again, and that's the whole thing about the argument, like where it goes off the rails. It's like, where it goes off the rails, he's like, yeah, okay, he's 3.5 million better than him, and they're like, oh well, he's better than him, and I think he's better than him. That doesn't mean shit. Like, if he's number one on NHL Network, nobody fucking cares. Like, legitimately, no one cares.
This is exactly what I wanted, Jay.
Yes,
yeah. Yes, that's what
because
we wanted.
They can't win. They're not good enough.
This is exactly what we wanted, yes.
And why be stuck in purgatory doing the same thing over and over again when you know they're not good enough to win? Why? It's the same reason why we didn't want JT Miller here, because we knew they weren't gonna. We knew they weren't good enough to win here. And JT Miller, while he is a good player in his own right, wasn't good enough or didn't have, you know, the firepower or that, you know, thing about himself to change everything around. It wasn't gonna happen. That's why we didn't want it.
Even from the top, your top producing player, Artemi Panarin, who, since he's been here, yes, he's been a great Ranger. What does he do in the playoffs? Nothing. He disappears.
Like Buffalo. Okay, so you're going to point to me an example that didn't work. Could I point to you examples that did work? I don't know, the Pittsburgh Penguins? How about the Tampa Bay Lightning?
The Blackhawks?
Right? Those teams who were sustainable winners for a decade and won
the Kings,
a cup or multiple cups. The Kings.
The Avalanche.
The Avalanche, yeah. The Avalanche are a great example. So I get that there's a risk. Try something new. And I would argue that, and at worst, at the very worst, if you rebuild, you are in the same spot as you are going to be either way, at the very worst, because this core showed they're not good enough to win, and the juices are running out more as they get older.
Why are you bringing up the Bruins? The Bruins won a cup in 2011. And off of that, they were able to keep a sustainable...
They also won the President's Trophy.
Yeah. And not only that, but the Bruins were able to keep a sustainable winner for years after their cup. Like, I'm not asking for a cup every single year, but Jesus fucking Christ, can you sprinkle me one here and there every now and then? Like they won the cup in 2011. They then went back to the cup in 2013, lost, and then went back in 2019. And now, like, where the Rangers were, they should have blown it up. But instead, you know, Sweeney, the fucking genius GM over there, decided to not do that and fucking give Nikita Zadorov and Hampus Lindholm.
If Panarin needed another elite player alongside him, then why is he getting paid like an elite player that doesn't?
Exactly.
By retooling. But yes, but how did they win that cup originally? How did they originally build the roster by winning in 2011?
Also, why are you pointing to teams that we don't even know if they're going to win with their groups or not? You're pointing to teams that are still in their window right now. So you could say the Devils, you could say Carolina, Leafs, Oilers, rather. We don't know. The Oilers just got to a finals and they're not going anywhere. All those teams that you listed are out in windows a playoff
that aren't
spot.
Even closed yet. You're pointing out windows that aren't even closed yet.
Yeah. That's why, like, that makes no sense. And someone said, I think it was Sam that said, because did the rebuild work? No, because it was a half-ass rebuild. They didn't rebuild.
They literally jump-started it and literally just for freaking, what is it, playoff ticket revenue. They literally jump-started it.
They accelerated the rebuild because Panarin wanted to be here. And they got impatient, yeah.
Because they're fucking idiots.
He's not.
This is what
player.
We're trying to say. It's a clown show from top to bottom.
Yeah, the window's not closed because they retooled. So you're telling me, though, that the Rangers could retool around Artemi Panarin, who's aging, JT Miller, who's aging, Mika Zibanejad. And I'm going to bring up the point that you make all the time, Matt. The difference is the key guys aren't the issue in those places. It's not the key guys. Is it Connor McDavid's fault they didn't win last year? Is it Leon Draisaitl's fault they didn't win? And then the Rangers, whose fault is it that they didn't beat Florida last year? Is it the supporting cast or the top guys?
The elite player, Artemi Panarin? That might be a good one, right?
It's like I brought up with the Colorado Avalanche before they won the cup in 2022. The three prior years where they came up short in the playoffs, Nathan MacKinnon, Mikko Rantanen, and Cale Makar, all three of them had point per game playoff runs, except for 1 year of Makar in his first year, but he was just under point per game. Where are the Rangers star players performing like that in the playoffs? Nowhere. And then Colorado realized they had to make some adjustments to the depth. They did it. They put the right players around their star guys. Didn't overpay a goaltender $11.5 million, and they won a cup.
Well.
Okay, wait. Should we play this game? Because we apparently only gave one example. Let's play this game. So Darcy Kuemper, with his sub 900 save percentage in the playoffs, was he a good goalie? Was he a good goalie, guys?
No.
No?
Antti Niemi with Chicago in 2010. Was he a good goalie? No.
Nope. Corey Matt Crawford?
Murray. Matt Murray, back-to-back cups.
Corey Crawford.
Yeah, Matt Murray.
I don't know. You're listening to some elite guys right here. I always see their names on NHL Network. So,
Jordan Binnington. Yeah.
Yes, that's the point of rebuilding correctly. And when you actually rebuild correctly, you let those guys.
And didn't the Rangers get high draft picks too? Loff and Kako and
hang on though.
Crashed off?
Because the point that I'm making here is that when you get the top guys, those guys are your key players on the team. You don't throw, like, when they got the top picks, though, Kako and Lafreniere were never the guys. It was always Panarin. It was always Zibanejad. It was always Kreider. It was Strome, and then now Trocheck. That's why, again, they didn't rebuild correctly.
I apologize for wanting my stars to show up when it matters.
And the Devon Taves.
Sorry.
And the Devon Taves one. Colorado didn't draft and develop Devon Taves. They fucking fleeced the Islanders for two second-round picks. They got Devon Taves. You think Chris Drury could fleece a team like that? Get the fuck out of here. No. Absolutely not.
It's like the people that point to Florida and Bobrovsky as if they didn't hit on five reclamation projects with Forsling. They found Rodriguez was unreal. Bennett, Verhage. Mm-hmm. And I'm forgetting the last guy that I always bring up. I don't know why I'm forgetting the last guy right now.
Was it Montour?
No, not Montour. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Either way, though, they're actually able to hit on reclamation pro. Oh yeah, Reinhardt. Reinhardt was the last guy. Yes.
I mean, to be fair though, Reinhardt wasn't really a reclamation. It was just they got him for good value. But even still,
true. Meanwhile, the Rangers traded one of those guys and got fleeced in Pavel Buchnevich.
Yeah.
But that's the point, though. It's like, we want them to rebuild, but we want them to do it the right way. Because Lafreniere and Kako, they got the top picks. They never gave those guys the opportunity to actually be the guys of the team. There's a very big difference when you actually do it the right way.
Young guys can't be depth. It just can't happen. Sorry. He's like, oh yeah, we'll just put him on the bench. You know, we'll put him on the third line. We'll put him here.
And that's the thing.
Young
like,
guys can't be depth.
Teams like the Avs and the Oilers, they got McDavid's, they got McCars, they got McKinnon's through the draft. You're not finding these guys by trading for them. That's just not how this works. That's why when they got JT Miller, cool. But him being here to be the guy to build around makes no fucking sense. That's not how you build a team. You build by getting studs in the draft.
And not only that, if you actually have a good scouting network and a good developmental system, you could actually find like these gems later down in the draft. And I'm not saying you're going to hit on every late pick in the draft. But look at a team like Tampa. You know, Braden Point, 79th overall. Andre Palat, 7th-round player.
Yeah.
And they were able to find these gems and help develop them. And they were big parts of their cup runs. Why can't the Rangers do that?
I disagree with the first part of this because, I mean, they will retool, but I don't imagine it going well. But I 1,000% agree with the last part. They're not going to do it. I get that our anger and frustration is a moot point because
to us.
They're not going to do it.
They ain't listening.
I mean, it's when they traded for JT Miller and signed Igor to extension, it was done.
Yeah.
That was it.
Kucherov, second round.
Right after they signed Igor, it was hashtag enjoy the show. That was literally it. That is immediately after that happened. Hashtag enjoy the show.
Because
it's only going to get worse from here.
I'm enjoying the show, all right.
I'm enjoying it. I'm having so much fun. I'm having so much fun being right. Because that's all I care about is being right. That's it. I just care about being right. It doesn't matter if my team wins or loses.
Against a late round pick too, yeah. That's another good example there.
And like I said, like, not every team is going to hit on every single late round pick. Like, that's just, statistically, that's impossible. But, you know, every now, here, and then, teams do that. At least the good teams. This franchise, this organization, absolutely not.
And how does the team in transition look, Jay? How does the team in transition look?
They're playing pretend.
If you think that Carson Soucy, Will Borgen, and these guys that are in transition are the answer, I don't know what to tell you, man. And yeah, sure. Bring up baseball because that's the conversation.
That's
Jay.
Great, man. That's great.
You got
man.
Us,
yeah,
man.
We know Mets. Anyways,
you got us, man.
And listen, like you talk about transition team. Everyone told me before the start of the season that this was a cup contender, that they were gonna go back, and
this
you know,
is a contender
because they won the President's Trophy last year. That they would be back in the same place, and that they were gonna compete for another cup. I mean, the fact that they went from supposedly—I mean, I didn't think that because I knew better, and I knew that this team was a joke, and they weren't good enough, and that they were a Fugazi team last year. But hey, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, again, the bigger problem is we don't trust Chris Drury to retool this team. And building around a 32-year-old JT Miller is just, I'm sorry, just not the answer. It just doesn't.
Well, at least the culture has changed. That's all that matters.
Yep.
That's all that matters. He changed the culture.
And I agree with this, Bobby.
He changed the culture from getting blown out by Nashville to getting losing to Anaheim in overtime. So, I mean, quite a move right there.
When I say
but again, it'll take time because, you know, JT Miller is so young. So it's going to take time, guys. You know,
when I say transition, I mean transition of play. What is their play style? What was their play style last year? Rely on the second line to bail them out of every game because the rest of the lines couldn't score? Rely on their power play to score because they couldn't score at 5v5? I mean, if you think that's your...
I don't know what they're transitioning
it's
to. That's
a
problem.
It's not a brand of hockey. It isn't.
It's not and a brand of hockey. This is the point. It's the point.
Yep.
But the problem is, and where we disagree, is that you think they can do it by building around a 32-year-old JT Miller. And to that, I say, okay, we'll see how that goes. But I don't expect it going well. If it works, great.
Even if you retool it and you have all these pieces around JT Miller, Mika, Panarin, Kreider, who's voluntarily taking them?
That and where is the cap going to? And it's so much that has to change with building around an aging player. There's too much that has to be done.
Luck. Unsustainable
that's,
luck. Yep.
That's not working. Well, listen, part of last year's problem was they couldn't play any defense. Look at this blue line. Does this blue line scream very good defense to you? When you have Carson Soucy, Euro Vakanainen, and Will Borgen, Keandre Miller, Calvin DeHaan.
If JT Miller is a piece, then what other pieces are you bringing in? What else are you doing?
Who are they building around then? Because we've seen time and time again, you need the premier talents.
Good luck getting by paying your goalie 11.5.
That's why the Rangers in 2014, 2015, 2012 didn't get over the hump. They didn't have that premier center.
It's the classic. We're running in circles, but this time it's going to be different. Like literally, it's the same shit.
And yeah, this is it. They're building around the goalie, and it's not.
Yeah, that's not
going to
work.
Going to work.
If it didn't work around Hank, it ain't. If it didn't fucking work around Dominik Hasek, it ain't working around Hank. It ain't going to work with fucking Igor. Let me tell you that.
If it didn't work around Carey Price.
You don't understand. Igor's generational. So you don't understand.
He's going up there too. I know.
Yeah. You don't understand. He's just, you know, you don't understand. He's just Igor, you know? You know?
Oh, I know.
I'm going to wrap this up here because we were going to like, what, an hour ago now?
Yeah.
I'm going to end it here. We'll be back tomorrow night. God help us.
Watch the Mets. We'll be back.
Yeah. God help us.